Okay, it is recording.
All right, so let's call to order the public hearing and regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, March 23rd, 2017.
Testing, testing. I think so.
All right, so today we are going to have our public hearing on the cottage zone regulations. First, we are joined by our illustrious Janet Estep, our economic director, right, our community economic development director. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to discuss the cottage zone regulations. Do they have a number yet? Or
1811.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. This meeting is being recorded, and the minutes will be available on the city's website. First item on the agenda is to approve the minutes for March 9th, 2017. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I still move we accept the minutes as submitted.
Motion by Commissioner Ryan and a second.
Second.
And a second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Any comments or changes?
Well documented.
I agree. Okay. Hearing none, other comments, all those in favor of approving the minutes of March 9th, 2017.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were talking about the agenda. Mm-hmm. I just have one on the minutes.
Yes.
I wasn't at the meeting, but it looked like I was pulling double duty. Present and excused. So just leave me as excused.
When your placard is standing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's there. Maybe he's in the bathroom.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. So we'll strike you from the roll call and keep you in the absent excused column. Any other changes? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the amended minutes for March 9, 2017, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved and it's unanimous. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there a member of the public who wishes to comment on something not on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we will move to our public hearing on cottage zone regulations. Before I open the public hearing, I'll ask if our staff would like to give us any updates or a report for those in the audience.
Basically, you guys have seen this before. Everything that we've talked about in the past is reflected. I think we've captured all your previous comments as of to date. And from here, I think what we're going to do is kind of, we didn't know if we'd had any comment, and then take this, get more from you, and then start dialing in and cleaning up the document.
Okay. All right, so the procedures for the evening, would you like me to state them for you, Mr. Former Chair?
I'm fairly.
Okay.
He only gets 2 minutes, right, Mr. Chair?
We'll give him three. You know that, of course, if we don't make our recommendation that whether or not we recommend it will move on to the City Council. Well, there'll be another opportunity to speak, and they will make the final decision. With that, it is 7:06. Somebody didn't get time change. So we'll go ahead and open up our public hearing. Please state your name and address for the record if you wish to speak.
Rob McFarland for John Day Holmes, P.O. Box 2930, North Bend. Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, so speaking for John Day Holmes, we feel this is not a good use of your time. We need to take up this cottage zoning regulations because it is not economically viable as written. And it does appear designed to dissuade any applications, and thus feels like a backdoor way to continue the moratorium. It took over 10 years for us to get the two projects that are currently under construction in this town. And that only with changes to where we are in the one last thought for you. As you go through, presuming that you will anyway, I would encourage you to think carefully about the definition of what a cottage is, define it very well, and then ensure that that definition applies across the code. And I'll give you one for instance. Currently, in the impact fee sections, various impact fee sections, are multiple definitions of what a cottage is. So you need to look for that consistency. Thank you very much.
Mr. McFarland, you talked about the code as written is too small. Could you tell me?
As proposed.
Is too small. What are you thinking in your marketplace is the right size?
We think the existing code is applicable.
Somebody refresh me on the difference between existing code and proposed square footage.
1,500 to 2,000
as a max.
So, the current code, if you remember, I should pull it out, but it, it's, let me pull it out. This basically...
Pardon me. So, seeing no one from the audience, we'll go ahead and close our public hearing at 7:09.
Hi, brother.
Yes.
Hello. This is McFarland's response.
Response to what?
Our questions.
Did you have questions for him?
Some questions, yeah.
Okay.
We're letting you get your questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Continue.
We can make sure that the minutes
have the questions.
Questions.
If we have
yeah.
more questions for Rob.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, sorry, I'm getting to it. So, from a size standpoint, there is, right now, the code has gotten complicated on cottage. And right now, the code has, as the different impact fees have been approved, there has been some changes to what is considered cottage. In kind of with the foresight that the 1,700 was the number that was kind of coming down the pipe. In transportation, there was another caveat, not generated from the CED department, that included a bedroom classification. In the end, the goal is to, whatever you guys come up with in your final product here, we're going to go through the code and bring forth an amendment that affects every single section of the code where cottages are discussed to make sure it's consistent. So the goal here is it's a one-stop shop in 1811. We're going to get rid of the performance standards. So once we know what the final product is, then we're going to go through and repeal, clean up anything that's inconsistent with the definition here. So we do recognize that, and it is a problem for us even administering it, and we want one consistent size. So currently the size is okay. It says so if you remember, we were trying to create a way to have different size small homes within the cottage zone. So it says, except inside the C below, a maximum of 10% of the total number of units may exceed 1,700 square feet. So 1,700 square feet is, in theory, the cottage. But not more than 2,500 square feet, excluding the garage. So in the definition right now of cottage, it's 1,700 square feet, excluding the garage, which is just on average just over about 400 square feet. But within the zone, you could do 10% up to 2,500 square feet, excluding the garage, which is actually a full-size home when you put the garage into it. And then it kind of goes on. So the actual definition.
By actual, you mean updated?
No, the so that was kind of a performance standard of how you implement. So the definition, I just want to go to the definition. Which I'm getting to here. So the definition of cottage is cottage means a smaller detached single family dwelling unit. Each home is of a size and function suitable for a single person or a very small family. A cottage is 1,700 square feet or less in size and therefore considered a cottage home when paying impact fees. That was the original definition. And then as the impact fee sections got updated, they all stuck with that except for transportation, which added this bedroom caveat. Ultimately, if this changes to 15 or whatever we end up with, it's all going to get consistent to avoid that.
So officially, I'll open up to Planning Commission questions. So, Commissioner Ryan.
I'd like to get Mr. McFarland's reaction to that. How have we basically reinitiated without any formal action the 10-year moratorium? I know that might have been lightly said, but you have a meaning behind it. What is it?
Well,
it's
not lightly said at all. Does not count in any measurement of square footage. Living space, habitable space is counted. So 1,500, 1,700, whatever you're counting, it's habitable space. Garage is a different thing. The second thing that I think that you want to make sure you're understanding is the current code is 1,700 measured under a special North Bend Municipal Code definition of interior space, and I'm not sure if cottage 1500 here as written is intended to be IRC or the old special definition, right? So make sure that you're clear on how it's going to be measured, and if you're not understanding what I'm speaking to, I'd be happy to clarify on that.
I do appreciate that. With the
IRC?
IRC.
It's basically billing code.
Right. So, again, what we're hoping right now, you have a whole section of the code that everything's going to be repealed and put into this, including the definition of cottage. Okay, you'll still have it in your definition section. We'll need to do that, but. The performance standards and everything, if you change those are all, this is going to be a one-stop shop. So what he's saying is, right now there's a odd caveat for only cottages that it's measured in the inside wall or outside wall.
Inside
wall. And it's not ideal for, so what we're going to do is we're going to measure them all the same. We're going to define whether, right now, like I said, excluding the garage, is so the size is the home. And all of that will go into this. So once we get done here, we're going to then go back, and you're going to get a lot of different sections with all those sections he's talking about being repealed, because they will all be addressed in here. And if we go through the code and realize we've missed a section or there's a conflict, we'll have to put it in here. Because the goal is, when you want to build a cottage, you only go to one section.
Changing square footage, and our square footage is going to looking at exterior square footage, there's a difference. We're not comparing apples and apples when we're considering the change we're making.
Depends on the thickness of the wall.
Well, no, and that's just it. And they're going to be, I'm assuming that there are measurement standards because of the kind of insulation, et cetera, the size of the exterior. So what are we talking about?
Well, the intent before was to know exactly how much livable space, because, yeah, you know, this is, we've updated this code three or four times, so I believe that the original, this is original language. I have to check this, so I believe, though, this is original language in the performance standards, the stuff that we're talking about going to be repealed. And the reason was, back in the original, it was, a cottage was considered something around, something very small, 1,200 square feet, I think. The original, like, 8 year ago version. Do you remember that? Yeah. So that, when you're talking about that small of a cottage, which is actually more of a true cottage, you need to make sure that the actual living space is that. So it was defined differently to measure, to make sure, you know, it really wasn't then getting small, even smaller. I think it was kind of a way to mediate that. When you start talking about 1,700 square feet, you're really just talking about a small average home. But it really doesn't make sense to measure it differently than any other single family home. It's footprint. Period.
Can we address a question?
Hold on. Elizabeth still had it.
I guess this is just something I need an answer to, because if we're changing, we're talking about making the numbers that we're putting in this smaller. I kind of need to know, if we're taking it to 1,500 or measuring exterior, what does that mean for the interior space? Yeah.
So it's not just a 200 square foot reduction. It's
a good thing. It's just knowing what does that equate
really to. Okay. I'll have to probably do more of a calculation on that. I mean, an average, you know, on average, you could probably say it's about a foot. Do you have an answer that you want to?
Having designed 9 homes, cottage homes in the past year, I've got a pretty good feel for it. The answer, Elizabeth, is it's not an easy answer, because
right.
It does depend on the stacking of the home, you know, the second story above the first. Within the regulations, there's also some provision for some homes to be only 50% on the second floor of the first floor measurement, right? So there is some variation, but what I would share is that for the John Day cottages we're building, it's 1,700 equates on most of them to somewhere between 1,780 and 1,802. So there's some variation. So about 100 square feet.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ryan.
I mean, it's a combination, right? So the increases in impact fees and how they're being applied to the cottage projects is certainly not favorable. The loss of the square footage is also a huge impact on the value of the home to a buyer, and therefore asking the builder to build a cottage, not speak particularly for the non-cottage zones that we want to encourage the smaller homes to be built on. There's really not enough incentive to get somebody to want to build those smaller homes when they could otherwise build a full size, which typically, in my experience as a real estate broker in North Bend now, the average home is well over 3,000 square feet. So, you know, we don't have really much being built in the 2,000, 2,400 that used to be. They've gotten larger. Therefore, 1,500, 1,700, whatever that number is, it's going to be a much smaller home than the average one, single family home being built. It's a great option. It's a segment of the market that we aren't addressing, and the concern is if you're bringing it down in size, in relationship with the rapidly increasing cost of land and the increased cost of fees, it makes it economically
impossible. We understand. I'm saying that the intent is to bring down a quality home into a price range for a starting family.
Right.
We think we've done this, but it won't be here if you can't build it under an affordable and product.
Which goes into the whole affordability concept that you discussed as wanting to pursue. But I believe there is a market and a segment. Cottage home, and it, I believe, is at a reasonable place now. And the concern is that with these changes, you're going to make that an unviable option for a builder, and therefore that option won't be there for that small family, the single person or the younger buyer.
And a young family that's starting will be very likely to be looking for a work position in the valley rather than having an Issaquah. Western East Side, trying to find affordable accommodations where they can be owners, not renters, building a family and working in here. If they have to build a Sequoia and rent an apartment, which is where they have to live, they don't work. So the idea, I think, but I think is to fall, like I said before, but if you're saying as a builder, you can't build it.
Data I can offer you is John Day Homes couldn't make it work until we got the current regulations. The other builder, Polygon, came forward under the current regulations. It certainly doesn't mean that there might not be somebody else out there, but they didn't come forward before. The only one who did got shot down into a moratorium.
That must
which
be
resulted in where you are now, I believe. So.
So I'd like to bring us back to the one thing to keep in mind. We have a current code that is very much consistent with the two developments that you've seen, the John Day Homes and the Polygon, which is built like a normal subdivision. Okay? We've seen two. And once those two came forward, the city council did start thinking about their cottage zone again. And this, what you have here, is a shift from the style that you've seen built already. So what if you look at this map, the intent of this is, if you recall, we talked about how, first of all, these cottages would be centered around a green, not necessarily lying down a street like they have. So, from my perspective, what you have in all that orange zone out there, area that's zoned cottage in orange on the map, is you have a lot of space. Too much space to build a bunch of the same cottages. Okay? You don't. That would become the exact opposite of what you're trying to avoid with all the cookie cutter, right? So what we've done is the proposal is to break that zone up into single family standard size and cottage. And the goal is to actually create a cottage that is more infill like, even though this is not like a lot of those cottage codes that are truly infill, like Kirkland and this and have you. So what we're doing is, and what we've done is, we've strategically looked at where we want to preserve some of the larger lot rural character, and Stilson was one of those, because if you go down Stilson, you got some really nice big trees. It looks pretty North Bend to me. So that area where we thought, okay, this is, you know, preserving that public view down that street is important. So let's create a larger lot look there, and then have the cottages access, you know, kind of off the back, off the trail, which is nice for a cottage. Then we did that also because along Cedar Falls, you have those kind of odd-shaped long lots or rectangular lots. So again, we took that approach along here. So what we're really trying to do with this is create a balanced zone that has a mix of single family and cottage in it. So the cottages that you see on the John Day development or the polygon really aren't envisioned in these cottages. They could be more the supplemental single family version to the in the yellow. So remember, it is a paradigm shift in how we're approaching cottage.
If I remember back to our first, the first one discussion I had on cottage when I was on the Planning Commission, my understanding was that they were traditionally used as infill kind of developments. Mm-hmm. They weren't broad developments, and so this is that push towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want to make sure I was understanding it correctly. Mr. Heller.
Just up to the question, I've actually seen this map before. Some of this might be easier to do than others. I see one large lot, but some of these other ones, I mean, I guess, how do you propose you? Is this with. Sell, you're just going to be right there saying, hey, we want to put some cottages in there, you know, don't sell it. Or how does that really happen when there's existing homes there?
The zoning is what you can do with the lot, and somebody could buy existing property without changing it. But if they wanted to develop it, those are the standards in which they could develop it under.
So they could, someone that currently owns.
Sorry, I got it.
Like one of these parcels that is in the cottage cluster, then that zoning can be changed while they still own it.
Mm-hmm. It does nothing to it unless they make those changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That helps.
Yeah. And so we can zone something commercial. Yeah. So they, if it's a zoning change, they get mailed a notice then.
Okay.
And they can come in.
So by the end of all this, that's what would happen. Part of it would be the official.
Yeah. I even go so far as to say, because the number of lots here wouldn't take much for an individual couple of lot owners to say, we don't want it. You know what I mean?
When you say we don't want it, what do you mean?
Let's say that this person is describing, whoever they are, has a house on their lot, and we're talking about changing the zoning.
Well,
that impacts them positively or negatively, depending on what they think. And I guess I'm making the point that we're not just surprising them. Somebody came into me right now and said, hey, I don't want my lot to change. Don't you think we'd listen?
Yeah, they may not know right now that their lot could change.
Jenna, this is currently zoned cottage. So by saying that we want some single-family homes in here, are we not down-zoning
Well, that's property. A good question. Yeah, that's a good question. So,
they could come in and say, I want to have cottage, right? Because that makes possibly their land more valuable.
Yeah. So what I think the goal right now, this is kind of a new approach to a zone. So there's a couple different ways to slice this. My thought was we're probably going to do another, well, we are going to do another public hearing, and a site-specific one. The way you do zoning code is not necessarily that you do individual lot noticing requirements. We were going to do it that way, but because this also includes downtown commercial as the crow, you know, as we talked about the walking distance, it affects actually a huge portion of the city. So what the goal is to have, once we better understand exactly what the Planning Commission's kind of asking us to go back and do from a final kind of map standpoint, we're going to do a second public hearing and have them, have people get true notice. We didn't want to do that until we knew exactly what is happening from a proposal standpoint. So what you're right, any of these lots that are shown in yellow right now have cottage zoning, and we're clearly showing that maybe that those cottages, you're not going to get that cottage zone. So that is something we're going to have to address. We can do it similar to how we're doing it out, or we could just truly intermix different zones like you see here. So there's a couple ways to do it, and that's kind of the next step. So the big caveats on these pages is that's why is as we work through where you guys want to go on this, there's a lot of different pathways we can take to properly implement it. So that's more of a process standpoint, and we'll take you down the right path there. What we want to know from you guys is, does the general concept start working? Do you want to see this kind of intermixing? We are going to have to create a provision that says, hey, if I own this parcel, which actually has a couple different zoning allowances on it, and I only want to build, or the builder only wants to build the yellow, what happens to the portion that has cottage? And those kind of things. Or, you know, the other obvious way we could do this is just go parcel by, you know, have this parcel and then these three parcels zoned LDR and then the next, and so you're intermixing. So those all that is going to be fleshed out in your next round. What we didn't want to do is we didn't want to get into zoning based on property lines. We want to look at it more from and then dial in what we want as we go once we know where we want to go. So the question really is, generally, do you want to see a mix of cottage and LDR in this area of town?
Yeah, that's one question.
So, Jenna, would this be then more like a master development plan? You know, how would we, you know, if you think about Issaquah Highlands, that wasn't, you know, just a lot here and a lot there. There was a master plan for that development. So, you know, if that's what we're creating, is that allowed, I guess, if you put it in a certain terminology?
Yeah, we wouldn't do a master plan just because we have multiple owners, multiple investors. Everybody's going at different time rates versus a master plan community. What we would do, though, is if this is the general approach you'd want to take, we'd start really dialing it in. And then, like, if we know this is going to be a cottage portion and we're going to infill this with LDR, we're just going to start showing the map, changing the map to show that. Or there might be merit in a parcel wanting the split opportunity. So we just have to write the what happens in that case into the code.
So
which is easy to do.
I'm sure we have more questions, but Scott, you want to ask one more, and we can continue as we go through the document.
This far parcel on the right. I don't know. I guess on any of them, really, if it's existing I guess in this case, it's the one on the far right has been zoned cottage, but it's like a single family home or something over there in the corner. No, that's the one next to the new cottage. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, is there a requirement to turn it into cottage, or could that person just sell it as is?
They can always sell as is.
It's just
your zoning that you get established is highest and best, so. If they sell their property, the buyer could build anything, cottage from the max allowed down to one cottage. There's no requirement to build it that way, but if you did build it, you can't build it more than the density allowed. If that makes sense.
Like, I mean, could they just sell their home and someone buys the home?
Yeah.
And this
property? Yeah.
So I mean, do you think it could be difficult to kind of orchestrate this?
Well, don't get me wrong. The effort isn't to orchestrate it like we're wanting it to develop. What we're doing is giving guidelines to, if somebody does develop, this is what the community sees as appropriate for the area. If somebody wants to live in their house or sell it, and the next guy wants to live in the house and own an acre in the cottage zone for the next 100 years, they can do that. But if somebody wanted to buy it and develop it, they would fall back to the rules that guide the development.
That reminds me of that guy in Seattle that had some major manufacturer go out of his house. He's got a little house on Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen here.
Okay.
I guess that we shut down the public hearing.
Yes. And so what I'd like to do and start going through the document and hear some of the changes that you guys got, if that's okay with you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I've made a bunch of changes, notes that I'm happy to do that, but I feel like I'm obliged to bring up something that to me is a more significant point.
Sure.
Excuse me. I think we've done a disservice to whatever the cottage zone is, as we define it. We've done a disservice by saying, oh, that's LDR, and there's a carriage house, and there's this and that. And as we've gotten into this, we've created an albatross. And if my memory serves, I know I was at the meeting, if I didn't actually speak the words that brought cottage home discussion to North Bend in the first place. So what I see happening here is it's a mess. We have a builder representative telling us that, hey, it doesn't work for the market, I can't do it, and I'm an expert. And we're looking at what we're doing here, and I think we're all struggling with, well, how do we actually spell this out? And the closest place on the geographically is Kirkland. It's not just a plan, it's go drive and it's done, go drive through it. So if I could summarize what's got me on this is, let's forget this idea of merging existing zones with one another. We're going to have a cottage zone. We're going to have a regulation, if you will, that ties to that zone. That allows for, once that regulation is established and clear, and as some other people have mentioned, needs to be crystal clear, not this warm, fuzzy thing, then someone, any developer, could come to us and say, you know what, I got this commercial piece of property over here. Would you mind if I built some cottage homes? Or I've got this, you know, low-density residential zone over here where my property is. Would you mind if I built some cottage housing? So to me, marks on the map are great, but people are going to struggle with it because we just picked it out because it was seemingly logical from afar. So as we go through this, and I hope to because I've got some comments, I just wanted to make it clear that I think we've screwed up so far by mixing things together that don't belong.
Well, I appreciate your comments, and I kind of agree with you that reading the document and establishing the zone, how we see it, is a wise way to proceed. Thank you for that. Yes?
I want to expand with Jim on what you just said. I probably wouldn't have said as that on Monday, but I'll go even further in saying that I think drives this strip of land, what happens in the strip of land is what we do with North Bend Way. just inside the mill. Pretty much their salad days are gone. They're going to be filling dishes. We have the buildable space. And I see a four-lane boulevard on North Bend Way. Nobody wants to say that. But I see North Bend Way developing. We should develop into a four-lane boulevard with a strip in the center, much like the Ridge Parkway. And if that's where we should be going, I think it will be necessary to have that type of travel available, that this strip will be adversely affected by that kind of traffic. We wouldn't put these kind of homes in there if we knew that's where North Bend Way was going. Why can't we see that far enough? We're gonna make it happen by the way we're suggesting our zoning will be. Let's not do what I think might be short-term foolish by putting a plan like this on the paper and then someday having to acknowledge Tanner Trail was never intended to be permanent. That'll raise hell with the community. And that bringing a four-lane boulevard into this area is crazy because of these homes. But the fact is, that's going to become a four-lane road. It has to. And so my view is, we should not be thinking about specifically about the zone, but keep the zone available through a longer discussion about far-range planning, which I've yet to hear anything about. That disturbs me.
Commissioner Ryan, thank you for your comments. First, I just want to say that at the CED meeting, Mayor Pro Tem Rosen had talked about the vision for his vision for North Bend Way, which included some bike lanes and some wide, I don't know how you would like pathways, right? There was a pathway and an on-road bike lane. I support your thoughts where we should have a divided roadway, maybe not four lanes, but with turn lanes for different areas. And all of that would be part of our transportation plan. The zoning is what it is currently. What we're doing here is defining the cottage zone wherever it would be in the city. And so to change that zoning would be a map amendment. And maybe we'll have that option when we get dockets in. Or maybe we'll have that option almost a year from now.
You need to change the zone?
Yeah.
No, we could do that now.
I'd like to speak from a little bit of experience
yes.
on this, because the parkway was initially intended to be a two-lane road. They didn't want to put that four-lane structure in prior to build-out. We talked from the mill perspective, working with the warehouse on the mill, we talked about the parkway clearly going to be a transportation corridor. We needed it. They thought about it. They thought that the parkway would very likely benefit by the four-lane being built early, and they built well. They would have had trouble building that without that four-lane road being there. I suggest we can think clearly ahead on the same side. We're going to be building probably another 9,000 population in this area, and this is going to be needed to expand. We need to plan for that expansion, not trying to find ways to use it that will be politically suicidal to try to change. We need to get that vision clear in the public's minds so they don't think about that, and we think forward. I think this plan is going to do what Mr. McFarland is saying in some ways, is that this is not going to work in any regard unless we think about multifamily housing.
Any thoughts, Jenna?
Well, we have a standard in place for North Bend Way, and it includes it's an arterial. We have lots of space out there for North Bend Way. Tanner Trail is currently owned by Burlington Northern. This zoning preserves Tanner Trail as either a trail corridor, which is a transportation corridor. It's on our transportation plans as a transportation corridor. Whether that ends up being additional lanes or continued pedestrian movement, the space is there. This doesn't take away the space. What this does do, though, is whether you choose to zone it multifamily, cottage, or any other use, it basically, you have a section of land that needs a zoning associated with it. So that's the gist of kind of what, you know, your intent is here. What do you envision to be the appropriate use to be occupying the land between North Benway and Cedar Falls Way in an area where you are talking about your last forested area of the valley floor, really? I mean, that is one of the desires of this. City Council's expressed it. Our planning department feels strong about it. The success of this area would be to allow housing to occupy this area while you preserve a lot of the character, which is the trees. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, having an extra 15 feet on Cedar Falls was one of one of the requirements. And so that's actually one of the really creative things that we'd like to dial in on as we look at the cottage. Like, for example, if somebody builds a cottage, the zoning is not more than 10 DUs per acre. It'd be nice to cluster that 10 DUs per acre so you save a lot of the trees on the site versus spread them all out. Because the more you spread development out, the more you have to, you know, you have the impact with the development with, and the trees and the drip lines and everything. So that's all part of why we're trying to balance a lot of different things. And actually, having larger, kind of the, like, we've talked to a few people that live, or at least one that lives in one of these rectangular parcels on North Benway, and they didn't plan to do anything different with their home. That's what they like, which is the LDR, which allows for the larger yard, more trees. So I think, kind of coming back to whether we go into wordsmithing tonight or not, because what I'd like to know from you guys tonight, because I would like to start dialing in on really bringing forth a dialed-in code, I'd like to know, do you want to see a mix of cottage and single family? And the reason why I think you want some kind of mix, I don't think you want that entire corridor built of homes, 15 to 1,700, whatever number it is you choose, whether it's 1,500 square feet or less, or even 1,700 square feet or less, you're going to have a lot of homes out there that look the same size.
I'll vote strongly for a mix. I don't know if it's just cottage and single family.
Okay.
And that's where I'll leave it.
Yeah, I would, I think some of the questions that I had in reading this, that, you know, just in general, mm-hmm. I don't know the answer, just as far as I see this as being versatile and in a good way for infill, which is what we're talking about. And if it doesn't fit, you know, the market right now, and it leads to an area that's not developed right now, quite frankly, I'm fine with that. I think it's setting a high bar, mm-hmm. and hopefully it's not discouraging or coming across as discouraging, but I think it's just setting, it's not accepting anything. And it's us being very specific in what the vision of our town is and how we see it filling up. And so, you know, all due respect to members of the public here tonight and their status and contribution to the community, but I think they have a lot of work, and, you know, if the market dictates, then at some point maybe it'll fill in, but when it does, it needs to meet this standard, mm-hmm. and I like that.
Okay. Good.
I've said pretty clearly, I think the concept is, it's unique that we would blend mm-hmm. inside a zone other zone definitions.
Is it?
Right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Downtown's pretty diverse.
Well, but I mean, we haven't overlaid specifically two or three zones together on purpose.
No, but downtown core, you can build or keep.
Well, that fits totally with what I'm saying. I love the cottage code that we're developing,
mm-hmm.
and I say, let somebody come to us and apply it anywhere that it fits. So it would be a down zone use, or actually within the cottage zone that we've established. I think setting up the
the parameters inside the zone already that allow for something that really belongs in another zone is confusing, and it'll force the same conversation from every other developer builder. Hey, well, you know, I can't do 1,700, but I can do 22. So they build throughout the zone. They've got 2,200 square foot houses that now the cottage concept just blown out the window because they've got more land for open space and parks and roads and whatever they did to get there. So you end up negating the cottage in the first place because the market, quote, wasn't there when the developer had the cash to start building.
So let me introduce a concept that's kind of where we're going here. So we have an area of town that's called Cottage. It's zoned an orange color, and it all was kind of the same parameters. What you're actually creating is something that you might change the name. It might become, you know, something that's called Cottage and multiple Cottage and LDR mixed zone, or who knows what it is that ultimately, if what you want to do is create a more, what I think is a more natural evolution of development versus when a big subdivision gets built with one style of home, you're going to have to mix the allowed uses within that zone. And that's what this does. So really what you are doing is you are morphing the cottage zone into more than just a cottage zone.
I love the flexibility.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to go get off on tangents, but what we're watching, trying to make this succinct. In 1950, the average home probably was 1,500 to 1,700 feet. Families grew, families changed, all of a sudden 1970 comes along and it's 2,000 feet. Now we're, as we've just talked about, 3,000 feet is an average. Well, the average home being built today, brand new construction, even though it's right next to, literally you could knock on the neighbor's window, they're pushing $700,000. Is that a starter home? Does somebody have $140,000 cash to put 20% down on that and they just got married? Maybe. So the whole, to me, this is this pigeonhole idea of, hey, this is what the market's doing. Well, the market's doing what it's doing because there aren't many options. They're figuring it out. They're doing what they got to do. And they're buying the stuff. And then there's this part of the market that grew up in that 1950s. 60s house, and they know they don't want 3,000 feet anymore. Maybe they came out of 5,000 square feet. Cottage housing, to my mind, is the physical structure that you can walk through in several places, particularly as I mentioned, Kirkland. It's not 2,000 square feet. However you measure the dimensions, whether it's from the outside or the inside, you have 2x10 walls or 2x4s or whatever, all that calculation you have. It's typically a one bedroom with a loft, and every detail is done well. That's a cottage house. The buyer for that might be a single person, but more likely it's the empty nester person who would not need to get in their car always to walk to the grocery store or into the shop or into where they're supposed to go. And they like to wave at their neighbors. So I don't want to make a long story, but I keep feeling like my thought about it just gets thrown off into the clouds, and we're all coming back to this idea of what the market's going
to
bear.
So we kind of are starting to go round and round a little bit. I think what I'm going to ask you, Commissioner Ryan, as we go through this and you think about what you want to see on North Bend Way, there's actually language in here that talks about what borders what streets and how that should look, and maybe that's where you recommend a change. For me, I'd like to start on 18.11.040. And anybody have anything before that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
The chapter 18.11, yes. The caption to me should read simply cottage residential. Instead of cottage residential carriage and two unit homes.
I agree.
It is what it is. Let's not blend it in.
Well, it's how we define cottage residential in North Bend.
Which is what the rest of this code's about, right?
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
18.11.040 in applicable use zones.
I'm sorry, I just don't want to have you.
Go ahead.
So the question is, and this came from 1811.020, when is a downzone not permitted?
When is a downzone not permitted?
Just generically, generally speaking, what circumstance can you think of that says, okay, applicant wants to use the land in what's considered a downzone from its existing designated use?
Oh, an applicant.
When could somebody not downzone the use of the land?
Their own property.
No, no. Well, it could be because they've got it under contract. I mean, downtown commercial has a certain set.
Yeah.
Could someone come in with an application to build a cottage house?
Yeah.
Could someone come in and build an LDR design type product there?
Mm-hmm.
So from the commercial zone, there's several levels down zone, and an applicant could come in and say, I want to down zone my use of the land. You could let them do that.
Yeah, maybe look at it not like a down zone. So you have a zone, and you have a list of allowed uses within
right.
that. You as an applicant can pick from any of those allowed uses.
Thinking of the function of it.
Right.
If we've told them, they can build super high density.
Right, but they don't have
to.
No.
Right?
Right.
So the concept of what we're creating in this cottage zone, the terminology, the definitions, all the parameters, someone could come in tomorrow and say, you know, it's nice that you've had this little designated color on the map, but I want to build it over here. I just want to point out now that they could do that if we do the zone. If we lay out the parameters properly,
mm-hmm.
someone could make an application to build it pretty much anywhere in town. Is that a fair point?
As long as it's allowed within that zone.
Which means we have to do this right.
Which means right now cottage is allowed within your downtown commercial
and
your cottage residential.
And multifamily.
Right.
20% or something.
Yeah, so, but yeah. There's
so my point to start the conversation why I'm drilling this home. If we do this right, if we lay this out properly, there will be no way to be more flexible than what we're creating. So a developer could come in, and just because we've designated a zone on the map, what really happens, a developer can come in and say, I'd like to do it lots of places in town on a smaller scale, or wherever their scale is. That's exciting to me. That's why I'd like to make this right.
Okay.
So 1811.030 is where you're at?
Just finished rambling on about that one, yes.
Cottage, detached single-family dwelling unit containing 1,500 square feet or less of gross floor area. Gross floor area is the interior measurement, or what is gross floor area?
Well, let's clarify it.
Because square footage is what it's
square. Enough. Well, square footage is square footage, but what is gross floor area? That seems to me the internal.
You get down to the nit where you take out the interior walls, because that's not living
right.
space. I mean, it's go crazy. I think I'm talking about the interior four corners.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a customary calculation for interior square footage is you measure around the perimeter of that space. And then you calculate based on the thickness of the wall what's left. And that's the inside square footage. I don't believe most calculations for this purpose actually go around with a tape measure and measure out every room inside the house, because the load-bearing walls can be shifted around. And, you know. So, Jenna, I don't know, what are we using? I know, as Rob pointed out earlier, this is a unique term for square footage, or a unique term for space. Is it as simple as converting back to the traditional square footage calculation?
Well, right now, when one of your performance standards, if you were to build a cottage right now, the performance standard says cottage housing floor area shall be measured from the interior sides of the exterior walls. The area of the internal stairway may be allocated between floors served. Okay, that's the parameters. Okay, truthfully, they're what we would prefer is that it just gets measured like we normally do. So a house comes in, it has a footprint of X and a square footage of why. And usually, when you submit your LDR homes, it's just the same.
IBC,
it's the footprint,
right.
Yeah.
What you're speaking to, the standard measure, and I agree with you. One measurement, measurement is where you should be heading, because I know the interior one has caused even your own staff.
Yeah, we don't like it.
Confusion.
Yeah.
There's one other parameter in there that applies, is that it also only counts it up where there's at least 6 foot of height.
Right.
So, Jenna, is this maybe an oversight because under the next section in B, max structure size, it has square footage listed.
In B?
1811050,
oh.
B, max structure size, it has square footage listed. So maybe this is just an oversight and it should be square footage. Does that make sense?
I think the gross floor area verbiage came in with an opportunity for fuzzy math.
Oh.
Well,
this is why...
I love learning new things, but I also like simplicity and consistency.
So, square feet maximum. Yeah, you know what? I have to check, because, you know, we started with the Kirkland Code, and I don't think we changed any of that. I think that's how it's written. But I think what it should be is 1,500 square feet or less, period.
Okay.
And then you have in 1811030, and then you're consistent, and it would be consistent the way LDR homes get. Everything would be consistent.
Okay.
Now that being said, you also realize that you know that you're going to have to at some point really decide what a cottage is size wise to you. So are you guys all on board by just saying 1,500 square feet?
Yes.
Period. Okay.
Or less.
Yeah.
Or less.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The discussion about square footage and the variations that you can come up with has a big ching in my head. Is this the square footage we're talking about? Ultimately, is that the area that the city or any regulator taxes for whatever use, and that trying to find ways to identify square footage ultimately depends upon what a public organization is going to yield, either taxes or fees or whatever. And that's why we're getting all these redefinitions. I think when I sell my home, I'm selling the interior space, period. I don't take out the stairway, and I don't take out the fact that I have a bathtub there. It's all being used by some domestic purpose. It's taxable.
So the point you're making is that if it's based on tax roll calculations of square footage, then we should be consistent with that. We shouldn't be calculating it different.
Good.
Okay.
Well, I think you guys have done that, so I think we're good.
My next question to the commission is, a two-unit home should provide 1,000 square feet of average unit size. Total structure shall not exceed 2,000 square feet. So we're saying because you're going to put a two-unit structure, you're automatically going to be 250 or 500 square foot less of a unit size. Anybody have any thoughts or feelings if that should be changed? Because I think I don't understand just because they're attached why it should be a smaller unit. I'd like to give that flexibility.
So the reason that the other codes kind of have done this is consistent with Kirkland, is because of size and scale to the small homes. So really just trying to keep that in balance.
You know, going back to the 50s and the 40s, I lived in what used to be Orange Grove, and the big house occupied the site in the early 20s, and now it's still there. I'm growing up as a kid, I like the variation of house sizes around my neighborhood. I realize that, okay, I'm in a small home. I don't live in that mansion, but people I get to know live in that mansion. So I like the idea of having a variety of sizes. It brings different types of financial structure into the community that you get a chance to be a part of. You're not just living in your own financial world. This old mansion was actually an old architectural elephant, but it was was interesting. So I like the fact that if we have those kind of homes that, that allow to exist around, we build around those, we do that, we don't call it a blight, just call it history. Sometimes they aren't welcome because of the way they look, but oftentimes they're interesting because they build a soul.
So Dick, this is about the maximum square footage that these two unit structures could be. In other parts of this document, we talk about how many variations of those sizes. So if you start with less, then ultimately you would have to build smaller two-unit structures. And so my question is that fine with everybody, or should we consider allowing them to have a bigger two-unit structure, and then we could create variations of those two-unit structures?
I would like to see us have a variety of sizes so we don't get what Jenna's talking about, the same look all the way down the boulevard. A variety of sizes, allows a builder to add variations to the exteriors that, that would be totally different from one size to the next. But what you get is you don't get that cutter look. You get a,
well, I wouldn't be comfortable putting 500 feet for each unit being 1,000 square foot. So it would be, you're looking at a 1,500 square foot home, and all of a sudden here's 3,000 square feet of two homes, but maybe 2,500? Thoughts?
I mean, I kind of like that it's a little smaller. Probably be more affordable. It's, it looks like the way it's written now, there would only be one of those allowed in each cluster of total. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. If we did increase, it wouldn't be a huge impact. But I think there's an opportunity to have one that's a little more affordable. So that's why I kind of like that.
Okay. Good point.
And isn't it possible with the builder in the room, when you're allowed to have variable sizes, you're probably allowed to keep more trees because you're building around them. When you get smaller, you have a tight spot, you put a smaller house in the area. If you set, you lay out your plan with tree retention in mind, you're forced to think about variable sizes, and that probably goes against the idea of building a economically viable, because where your profit comes when you have the ability to just put them in, same size fits all. You don't have to worry about the variability costs. But it would make an interesting neighborhood, particularly in the strip where all these trees, I can almost guarantee you that we're not going to have those trees.
Yeah, it's $2,500 to take one down, and it costs you $50,000 to leave it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the fact that we want to keep those trees is not going to happen in the strip, no matter what we do there. And there's already spots in that strip that's hollowed out from previous years. That's not all just a nice strip of trees. They are along the street, but you get in the interior of them, many of them are vacant.
I'm going down to 1811.040, applicable zone uses.
One more stroke on the first one.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
If I can keep us on the .030 just for one more second. I think we should delete item number four there, since, follow my logic, a single family home, even if it's 1,501 square feet, doesn't belong in the quote cottage zone.
It's defined elsewhere, right? And so in cottage, can you do single family?
Well, again, go back to this map.
No, just in the zone allowance of uses. So
right now you could do 10%, and there's that kind of sliding scale.
That's what, so we don't need to cover what single family parameters are unless they would be different here, and why would you want to make them different, I guess.
Particularly because it's called standard single family home.
Yeah.
As if a standard single family home is allowed in the cottage zone, that's where I'm coming from.
It is.
It would be. Yeah.
So I'm just keeping my train moving.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like your logic that a single-family home is allowed in the cottage, and then see single-family home.
Right. Design standards. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anything else, sir?
Thank you.
All right, so 18.11.040, applicable zone uses, and it is the fourth line down.
Mm-hmm.
Cottage clusters of 12 unit per cluster may be developed within this 500 feet of each other. I think that just needs to be
not more than two clusters of 12 units per cluster
I don't know what this 500 feet of...
Maybe developed within 500 feet. Yeah.
I need to dream of this.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to show that edit because that's just a typo.
Yeah. Okay, the 10-minute walk diagram. I would like it defined in such a way that you said a 10-minute walk from North Bend Way between this street and this street. I don't care what streets you pick, but I would like it like a known area.
Okay, we're going to show a map, and it's going to be very clear.
But it's going to like have a point and then a circle?
Yeah.
There's a technical definition of 10-minute walk. Is that what you're saying?
We can call it anything you want, you guys. Okay. The point is,
well,
the reason...
We've been through it before. I'm like, okay, what, all legs are...
The point is what we want to show is these in theory, are... units, like you said, Jim, that are people are going to, just like you want to put your multifamily closer to your services, your meaningful retail, or meaningful commercials, you want to do that with these. So we're going to have, like, a circle around downtown that shows the distance.
Okay. So the next page under 1811.050, I have a lot of edits to.
Mm-hmm.
But my first question to the commission before I get into the technicality of how this section is laid out is if it's within the 10-minute walkability of downtown, this document says that we reduce the 24 units to 8 units. And can you tell me if we want density downtown in our core, when you want the people living downtown to support a thriving downtown, why we would reduce the density as you are closer to downtown? That to me seems backwards in the logic.
I never caught that.
No, that was something that was...
When I read that, my thinking about the actual application of it was, you know, that a lot of the lots in town are smaller. Therefore, a smaller number might be more appropriate given, you know, like what we're looking to fill in. Does that make sense?
No, it's about how much density you allow per acre. It's not about what's there. It's about what they could do with it and where you want the density to be.
I see. It's and like 4 quarter-acre lots downtown all of a sudden become an acre. You can do something with it. The developer comes and buys the third or fourth lot he doesn't already have. And program.
Well, let me make sure I'm tracking it, Gary.
Yeah. I'm on density and
floor. Yeah, so the first one says cottage development. Density within the cottage residential zone and within the LDR and DC zones located within that radius, the density shall not exceed 8 DUs per acre for cottage. You might want to say, first of all, so we're treating it all the same. I thought I heard you say it was different.
Well, it says it's reduced to 8 per acre. And why not just the standard 24 per acre, which was reflected maximum 24 cottages in D.
That's what I'm reading there, but do we want to use the same language with dwelling units per acre? That's what it is, instead of just cottage.
Oh, hold on. So D, cottage development size and mix, cluster size intended to encourage a sense of community. So what we're saying is... that's not density. That is like if you have the ability to do 24 cottages, you can do it, but you can't do 25 cottages, regardless of your area. So, the reason of those, you have to the maximum you would have to break the 24 cottages up into
two clusters.
So the density is 8.
I thought in the zoning.
The current ones?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was one of the that's one of the changes that...
I think my light bulb. So we're actually talking about, so someone has a 5-acre spot, and because we're, as we have with this drawing, trying to encourage preservation of trees or for some other reason, well, the second thing is that you can cluster that many together, but no more than 24. Even if you had enough acres...
without a buffer in between.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't think 24 cottages, especially with the pervious surface and all of that, it's just not adding up off the top of my head. What square footage in an acre? 50%.
The research we did is you're going to get about 8 DUs per acre.
And that makes more sense than math.
Let me look real quick as we, and one of the desires was, you know, questionably, you know, density, you know, let's see here, I'm looking. So, like in Kirkland, I'll just do the quick math here. You got 2. Yeah, so Kirkland DUs per acre is 7. 7. You got 2.25 acres and you have 16 homes. And they range in square footage between 650 square feet to 1,500 square feet.
Well, I misunderstood cluster size. With
yeah, so that is a difference.
Okay. I apologize.
So,
can I throw in one comment here? This reminds me of another group of the value of this type of product, that it found success in places where there would be, for example, 5-acre parcel. That the choice was build 5 acres is worth X amount of money. You can build one really nice 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 square foot house, or 15 cottages. And the allowance to build a 15 came along with some setbacks from creating some buffers and open space. That's the concept that got traction in Kirkland for cottage housing. So it's an infill product. And again, we're creating a new something from a mold that didn't start off with.
I think you and I are kind of parallel thinking here. I'm thinking, I'm accepting the fact that other groups, other than the Planning Commission, have talked about this strip as being valuable because of the trees, it's the old North Bend. And why not make people who live there pay for it? Big houses, few of them, and leave as many trees as possible. And let them enjoy the trees as put on their property. So trying to fit in dozens of cottages amongst all these trees, you're going to be in danger of blowdown. Doesn't make sense to me.
The trees weren't so much the factor of the example I was thinking of.
No.
It was more about, because most of the land wasn't buildable, you really had a choice between an expensive big house, single house, and many smaller houses using the same amount of land, using an acre of the 5, for example. That's the concept.
So then under A, density and floor area ratio, we talk about density,
mm-hmm.
but not about floor area.
Mm-hmm.
And does it need to have that, or can it just say cottage density? Or
that's a good question. A really good question.
Or are we going to add in floor area ratio? Because
it sounds good.
I don't know. I'm interested to find out.
You know what, Gary? I've been thinking a lot about that. And I am going to defer and answer that question when I can actually. I personally think just density. I think at some point you regulate, and you regulate yourself into a cookie cutter, right? So as long as you meet the density, allowing that flexibility. Yeah, and lot coverage in general, if greenness is our goal. So let me look into that a little more because I've been pondering the effects of that myself. So I have a couple notes I want to.
So in B, we have, I'll wait till you get caught up.
Okay.
Max structure size and mix.
Mm-hmm.
And we have D, which is cottage development size and mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it simple.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say exactly what, but item number 4 seems it could go below D. B4 could go to D. Not more than 1 2-unit structure and 1 carriage may be allowed within each cluster of 12. Seems to talk about cluster size.
Okay.
And I would just, yeah.
And you want to remove that mix.
Yeah, I would, in D.
Right, good
yeah.
point.
In D, I would call it like cottage development clusters or something.
Yeah, mix is already in D, so.
Okay, so not more than two units.
Yeah, number
structure.
4.
And 1 cottage unit. A carriage unit may be allowed within each. So, size and mix. Okay, so that would go into a... Okay.
So, I don't know. Yeah, however we want to write it, but we have size and mix, and we have size and mix below.
So, I'm going to get rid of max structure and get rid of and mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm going to delete that, and I'm going to take 4. I'm going to delete 4 from that section. And I'm going to move it down. Okay. Oops. Yeah, bless you. Okay.
And then there's clusters also in E, cottage cluster location and separation.
Wait, hold on. I just haven't moved it. So 2 units are allowed. Okay, I'm going to. Okay. Okay, now I'm following. Okay. So we go back to C?
Yeah.
I kind of want to have a conversation about garages and cars and looking at the future of this concept of being close to town, close to things where people don't necessarily need a car. You've got hybrid stuff going on, electric vehicles, all that. I'm wondering if 250 square feet needs to be spelled out that way, where we're basically designing probably an exact square footage for the garage, because that's going to go into the foundation plan and they're going to build around the space that they start off with. Is there a better way to say that? I don't know if I know the answer. I'm going to say one car.
The reason for that specifically is to keep the scale of, because the house is so small, it's specifically to keep the scale of the garage less than the house. So... if you just say one car, I can honestly tell you, I'll be sitting with a developer, and he's like, yeah, it's my one car. I drive the biggest cars ever.
Summer, too.
Well, or he says, this is my one car, and it's big enough for a motorcycle with bags on the side.
Right, but that's not going to happen, because they sell square footage. So I, in this scenario, I think it's important to give your city a chance to be able to be very clear what that space is intended to be.
So
otherwise, it's going to be...
would you say we've done a good job of spelling out how a developer can go in about this without having a garage?
Yeah, because it says cottage may include an attached garage. But if you detach it, it shall not exceed the size. So we're definitely saying you don't have to attach a garage. And in fact, the whole concept of the cluster is that these are not oriented like... the old, the developments, the two we have, are off a road with a driveway and a garage, and that's how
so
you act.
So, Jenna, can we give the option that if you don't build a garage, you could add 250 square feet to your footprint or to your square footage?
Well, it's, okay, so if you think about it, it's set up so you have two different ways to do it. You can build a garage, or you can build a garage structure with a carriage unit over it. So in theory, you still have the garage.
Well, no, I'm saying in another mix, here's the one unit that has no garage,
mm-hmm.
and instead of the garage, we give them an additional 250 square feet.
Likely our garage is converted to 2 bedrooms, period.
I don't think we can do that in our climate.
So I guess what I'm trying to get to, so in a bumbling fashion, is that we come back to that and kind of double check that we're incentivizing the developer not to build a garage.
Well, then how about in max structure size, you insert a new line 2 for cottage without garage, and make that 1750. And there's your incentive.
Something to that effect would work.
Any objection?
You guys should think about that.
Can you repeat what you
said? I'm saying if a cottage without a garage can be, instead of 1,500, 1,750. So you take the square footage of the garage and you allow that to be in the space of the unit.
That's what we change the definition to 1,750.
Right.
But that creates a variable look, too, which is what Dick is saying.
So
is
that you then you pushed all people, of it attached garage.
Right, then you pushed everybody
or no garage.
Square footage
right.
in the garage.
You're basically...
So then you could have a max of four in a cluster. Or something.
Well, my concern that you're creating is you're creating an incentive not to build a garage at all. Because if you say, if you don't build a garage, you get 1750. They sell square footage. And most often it's based on the living space. So... My thought is you're going to have a bunch of cottages
so
without the garage.
I want a garage if I'm buying.
And the market, you're the market in the case, right? So one example I can point to is on Cassie Bainbridge. Where was I? It may be Bremerton. Near Bremerton, on the water, there's two, maybe three lots, depending on how you count it. One of them, I think, is a shared parcel that's got a little community center area, and then individual houses kind of line this meandering walkway back to the main road. And from the main road, really what you see is kind of a parking area with parking spaces. And then as you get further into the residential space, you start seeing, you know, freestanding or shared wall garage doors. You get past the garage doors, and now you're walking on your property down toward the
water. Yeah, you're taking me down memory lane, General. Because
I don't mean to do that.
My grandmother owned, my blessed grandmother owned eight little cottages with a central walkway going off to each cottage. And she had, behind that was a covered, just a covered, one, a roof, parking spot. And all the cars would be slotted. They'd walk to home. They'd walk into their cottage.
Yep.
And these things were less than 1,000 feet. They were like 800, if that.
So this, I think, is the site plan you're thinking of. Can you guys see it? It's Silverdale.
Yeah, yeah.
So the cottage company built this, and they don't really like this one, per se.
Odd duck for them.
Yeah. And here's the reason why. If you see, this is a big parking lot. So that what they said is the city required a ton of surface parking. And it really creates a dead space. And the whole success of cottage is communal living. And you drive in here, and what she told me was that, you know, it's kind of this dead space. These are garages, shared garages for these homes that basically all orient to the green space. And then this is the waterfront. It's a pretty nice little piece of property. But coming into it, the overparked atmosphere kind of deadens
it.
Yeah, and then the two garage spaces. So on average, I think you're not going to really get a house with a garage without a garage. You're going to get a house with a detached garage, meaning a shared four unit garage, or they're going to attach it because the way the site lays out. I'm not really thinking you want to incentivize no garages in this North Bend rainy atmosphere. And part of it is, so I think what you'll end up getting is one or the other. If you incentivize and say, hey, you don't have to build garages, I'm more worried you'll get more of mobile home parks are more that style.
Right, Jeff.
Yeah.
You're right.
I just think you want to keep with the garages because you want to keep.
Bring me back.
Yep.
Jim, I have a question about covered carport.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's slotted with golf cars, whatever. But it's covered at least.
Yeah.
It's open but covered. Do you have thoughts about that?
That's in here. I have a question of, does it have to have, you know, that roof as described in here, or can we have one that's open too? Especially guest parking. I don't think it has to be covered. But we're not there yet.
Okay. So
parking in drier areas, you have detached garages.
Yeah,
and you don't have to walk to the rain to get your groceries in from the car. Now we all look for a attached garage for that very purpose because they drive.
Okay. I apparently mischaracterized something at Ranger Station, so Rob would like to clarify.
Mr. McFarland.
So my point is that you're talking a lot about the existing two projects. None of it built yet, right?
I'm talking about our code before.
Well, I'm talking about several of the conversation points about presumptions around what the two projects being built look like. But there's one house actually vertical right now.
Yeah.
Two as of this week, right? But far from a roof.
The real point is
that in the Ranger Station, the John Day Holmes Ranger Station project, you have several more standard attached front-loaded or side-loaded garage product. You have quite a number that are the detached rear garages, and there are three clusters of cottages with alley-load garages, much in keeping with the concept of clustering that you're talking about around a common green. So I want to be sure that you're thinking about that has been provided in that project. Can't speak to the polygon. It's definitely a different design.
Yeah, and my apologies because I did forget about your clusters. They do have some clustered off alleys, which.
And to your example, about garages are not all over town. You've got examples of small homes without garages. So easy to see.
This doesn't require. But what I wouldn't do is incentivize not doing one and let the market decide whether you do, you know. But definitely don't give an incentive to delete them.
Yes?
Leapfrogging off the Ranger Station area, I had the opportunity 2 weeks ago to go out, and John Day and his wife Carolyn were there, and I asked if I could get permission just to walk in. That's what they were doing, walking through the space as it was standing. And I had a really interesting conversation with both of them, and I asked what square footage was. And I think it was 1,400. I don't know if you have clarification on that. It could be 15.
The one you were in.
The first one.
1,700 per cup.
17, excuse me. Okay. And I just had a really fascinating time looking at how the angles were put in and how you could actually have made more space, really interesting storage space, for example, if you could have gone a little bit bigger. So it does affect our square footage, even from the outside. When you look inside, there's so many different pitches to some of these really unique little cottage-style homes that if you only went another 100 feet, there'd be more livable or more stackable storage space where the for the comfort of the people coming in, I guess that's my point. You get real creative.
Well, another constraint for that particular location is the flood zone and the overall height restriction. And so we actually don't even get the height restriction that you could other ways if it weren't the flood zone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that impact that.
Well, it's interesting for me to actually be able to see that. Thank you.
Product price on that, by the way?
It has not been priced. The only one that knows is John.
And I know he doesn't know quite yet himself.
He's watching and engaging.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on E, I think. Anything moving on to...
C.
One thing real quick.
Yep.
Jenna, just a typo. It could be registered as a half instead of 5.
Point 5.
Point number 6. It's highlighted yellow as a dot 5. It probably shouldn't belong. The last part of the sentence. It's rounding up after 0.5.
So two units are allowed. So if it was... total number.
Right after 5%.
It's half of one.
A half of one. So on the rounding, if it's, if you get 1.4 units, you round down. If it's 1.5, you round up.
Okay. Just while we're on typos, in the D,
Yeah.
You have a closed parentheses, but I have open parentheses.
I'm refusing to acknowledge typos.
We're refusing to?
I'm refusing to.
Okay. I'll take on that burden.
You're good. Keep it up.
All right. Hey, you guys, I love this stuff. Just give me all your typos. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's seriously.
Well, you got to insure. You drink insure. You insure.
I got one.
Ready? Did I just open a Pandora's box?
I'll sure, but this is fun,
right? I thought you were just doing, we weren't at that point of
No, I love it, because I, truthfully, I, you know.
Number three has 75% spelled out, and the, number six has 25%.
Number three. Number three where?
D delta.
Oh, sorry, D3.
Spelled out.
Okay, and then where is the next one?
The highlighted one. You just
what would you prefer, guys? Percent spelled out or percent not spelled out?
I like dollar signs, actually.
Okay, so the symbol.
It means the same thing.
Okay, I'm not showing little changes like this as long as it doesn't change the...
Well, Travis, is
you don't have
Okay, I'm going to item number two. And you have the highlighted section, add buffer to ensure 35 feet. And is it correct that the 35-foot average buffer is under A1?
A1,
so you can delete
yeah.
that line?
Add buffer to ensure, yeah. Let me read, yep. Okay, keep going. So
if that's correct, the buffer you added is below?
Each cottage development of up to 20 rooms shall be separated by another cottage. Of either, yep, I think that's why it's highlighted. These are things that I needed to. Yeah. Okay. A. Okay. Got it.
So I did something else with that same. I think if I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, just language.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using the word cottage cluster, you could say a cottage development consists of not more than 24 units and shall be separated from another cottage development by whatever you want to call it. And then when I look at 2A sub I, 35 foot, should it be minimum? Average seems like the wrong word.
Oh, the reason why we want to do average is because of trees. So when you're trying to create if you do a minimum, you get a line. If you do an average, what happens is somebody will be like, there's no, say you have a bunch of trees that do X, Y, Z, they do this. And so the buffer line can do
right.
that. So this might be 50 and this might be 25, but the average, and that's more natural.
So, to the point you're making, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I also can imagine a circumstance that we don't find out till later, but there's a 5-foot distance between buildings because the average buffer we've generated works out. So if we have a minimum mentioned in there, somehow we protect that.
Okay.
Space.
So an average, so a 35-foot average buffer with a minimum of...
I don't know how you want to say that. You see what I'm thinking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you have a 50 and a 75, then why can't I have 5
right,
foot over
can,
here?
I can average thing and create
right.
a foot.
With a minimum...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so an average 35 foot buffer with a minimum width of
not less than... What's the number?
Yeah, well...
Assume we have two opposed zones next to each other. What's the number?
30 feet of trees is next to a major road.
Let's go 25, give a 10 foot. Okay, you want to give enough that, I'd even almost go 20, because then if you, as long as it's folding out. Yeah, because then you're really, but let's start with 25. And like I said, it's okay taking our time on this one, because as we dial in all this, we're going to really lay it out and look at what we've created and see. So I'm not on a big hurry on this one. So let's go with 25 for now.
Good catch.
Did we correct the cottage cluster thing I pointed out?
No. Okay, so right now it says cottage clusters of not more than 12 per cluster, not more than two clusters of 24 may be located next to each other. So you're wanting to simplify that sentence. Right?
I don't know why you need to use cluster in
When I read it, I think cottage development could include multiple clusters. So when we subdivide that into what's labeled a cluster, now we're defining like it, there has to be certain barriers with this buffer in between. It's like in my categorical mind, I kind of like to have like that distinction.
What if it says, because maybe this will still get to that, cottage development of two clusters. Oh, wait a minute. I see where you're going.
I trust you to go back and play with it. I just
okay, I'm going to highlight that and play with it. When
was there a minimum on the cluster? I mean, does it pretty much have to be 2 12s?
No, 4 is the minimum on a cluster. If you look at D. However, I have a note to myself that I wasn't going to bring up, but it will come up. It's basically we need to come up with 4 is what you want to create a cluster. But when you're talking infill, like in downtown, if somebody can create a 3 or a 2, you know, or even just, I mean, we got to clarify that if you're in downtown and you buy one lot or you buy a lot, you can still build 2 cottages. We're not forcing a minimum. So we need to clarify that. And I have a note to myself to come to you guys with some language clarifying what happens when you build on an existing lot in town and you can build 2 per se.
That goes against the sense of a cottage community, though.
Well, you mean like the cluster.
Well, that's the whole purpose of cottages in the common areas.
It does. Yeah. But if somebody wants to come into downtown and build a small home, you still want to incentivize that, and you still want to give them the cottage.
Why wouldn't they just build a 1,500 square foot home?
They would. But
they have a larger lot. I can think of a few that could work really well where they might only be able to get 3 in the space that's there.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I'm trying to think of it practically if you have one lot, but if you have a big enough lot and you could build 3 homes instead of 1.
Are we talking about the downtown business core when you're saying downtown?
DC zone is that red area on the map?
Yeah.
Residential's allowed in it.
Yeah. I don't want to.
And no one's going to build, unlikely a builder would choose to build.
I want to maximize
a 3,000 square foot house.
I want a house that red zone. I want 3 stories of high paint. The pace.
In some areas,
what if you would like to walk to the coffee shop?
I want to see uses that collect VO&O taxes. I want the downtown to earn money on that grid. I don't want to do
so. So let me work with this because this touches on the stuff that I think you want to go back and forth on. If I have the wherewithal and I've gotten to a place, you know, I'm traveling and la la, whatever I'm doing, and I want to build my house, the space that I want to live in, and I want to build it so that I can walk to the coffee shop and walk to the restaurants that happen to be in town and literally can walk out my front door and just go there. And I don't choose to be in a condo kind of setting. I could spend a lot of money on my little lot and my little house because that's the size house that I want. And there's a lot of people, I think, coming that are thinking that way. So instead of what our system has created, which is, hey, if you want to get a loan, Johnny, you got to build a nice big bonus room because your square footage calculation needs to work out to get the math to get the loan. Those same folks who built houses in the last 20 years, hey, I don't owe any money on my house now. I'm selling it. I'm taking all that cash, and I'm going to build a nice kitchen, powder room, a master bedroom, and I'm done. The kids can go stay somewhere else. That person would write the check to live in that house. To not have to
I don't want that car. Person keeping me as a city councilman voting in favor of a 10-story apartment building right next to your bedroom window either.
Well, that's the risk,
fighting,
right?
I'm fighting off the little guy. I'm the big guy's always the underdog for a little guy.
Say that again.
I don't want a single-family home in downtown North Carolina.
What if it's 3 cottage homes? instead of one fourplex.
Could I get up and just point at a couple things here?
Yeah.
When we're looking at this, you know, we're talking about the red, right?
Yeah.
You're over here. We've got, you know, the schools. This is a heavily residential area in here. These aren't the spots that someone's necessarily going to do a coffee shop or a business. So we do need to address the issue of cottage as a potential infill in that area. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be ideal, but it's getting a bit more density in an area that already has a lot of single-family residents. We're not necessarily talking about over here and on the main road. This is in an area that's already pretty, it's within that area.
Well, just to be correct, in the DC zone, what you can do right now is three stories, and you can do a mix of commercial and residential, and that's allowed.
Just respecting you the way I do, I understand that, but I'm saying that's a future use also. A future use is, let's grow this town in 50 years. That's the growth spot for vertical growth in our town, is the red. Right now it's occupied by single-level home sites, but that red's going to create value for those owners. At some point, they're going to change their mind, sell, take the value out, and move somewhere else. But that's where the vertical's going to happen, the red. That's what he said. In fact, I think that discussion happened here about a year ago, before Rob departed. We were talking about that density, and you were talking about it too, Chip. About how that density.
Well, yeah, I had a circle around the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, you did.
And I still do in my head.
Yeah.
And I was
because that creates the most opportunity for a developer to come and go. What makes real sense for this particular parcel?
Yeah, there's a lot of down property in that area that is just humble and falling apart.
Right.
Waiting for someone to offer them money so they can get the hell out.
Yeah, their value is 80-90% of the land. Yeah. Right. So everything across the tracks, if you wanted to start.
Even a dirty road for that place you're talking about.
So, well, this is a wonderful and juicy conversation for me to get into. The question that we were pondering is, should we make allowance for cottage infill in the downtown core zone? And, Jim, you were in favor of three as allowed, or two?
No, I go back to my point, as I said earlier. I think if we dial this in properly, then it will start happening. And it may happen in the downtown core.
Well, let me offer this up.
So just
right now you have a minimum cottage cluster of four. Okay. And you have a density of 8 DUs per acre. So, hold on.
Bear half an acre would be 2 lots.
So, 43,560 divided by 8 equals. So, to do 4 units in your downtown, if you required that you couldn't build a cottage in your downtown unless you did 4, which is kind of the way it's written, which isn't probably the right, you would have to have 5 times. You'd have to have 2,100 square feet of space. 21,780, okay? That's a lot of land in your current downtown when you're thinking infill. So, what I was thinking more is, say you have Second Street. You're getting already built out, but we have like a little red house that's falling apart down the way, probably going to get redeveloped at some point. I don't know what that lot size is, but let's say it's 8,000 square feet. So, right now, your minimum lot size in downtown for a single family is 4,000 square feet. Well, you'd want to do that probably for cottage, too, right? So that means this person could, in theory, either A, build two single family homes, divide it, or you'd want to clarify whether cottage is allowed. You see what I'm saying? I mean, maximize the profit. Maybe they just go single family anyway, or maybe there's a lot in town that's existing that's only 4,000 square feet, and you would want to be able to allow that cottage to be built, is what I'm thinking. And it's just not clear. So I have add language about infilling downtown for 1 to 3 cottages, basically.
So 8 an acre is
about
5,000.
It's 5,100 and let me go back. It's 5,445.
5,445. Okay. Our minimum lot size for single-family residents, is it 8,500 or 7,500?
The minimum lot size right now for single-family? 7,500. With an average of 8,000 square feet.
I could have sworn we recommended 8,500. Anyway. So you said 7,500.
That's minimum with an average of 8.
Okay. But what is the percentage difference, I guess, between 4 and 7,500?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you talking in LDR zone or in the DC zone?
LDR.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what the percentage difference is so we can apply that same percentage difference to cottage.
40%.
Yeah, so it's like 40%. So do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-uh.
So our regular
uh-huh.
lot size is 7,500.
Uh-huh.
In DC, it's 4,000 square feet. What's uh-huh. the difference in the percentage? And then take what we have here and 40% less, and that would be our square footage for downtown core cottage mm-hmm. to apply the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to anybody? So, here, let me.
Well, I'd be able to relate the percentages, but I wonder if we don't address it just by going back to the units per acre.
Let it, I don't know if that's going to be the way you want to go.
Okay.
Because right now, we have an issue with the code, but I'll get into that later. But so right now, in the DC, okay, you have single family and you have cottage. 4,000 square foot is the requirement minimum lot. Oddly, in the DC, cottage is 10 DDUs per acre, and it doesn't have a minimum. But when you do the math, it's actually oddly that, so it doesn't make sense. Now, that being said, that's a zero. So we're going to fix this with, that's one of our cottage fixes that we want to fix, but.
So it's about 0.53 difference. And it comes out to that with 0.53. So 4,000 divided by 7,500 is 0.53.
Okay.
And so that would be about the difference. And so if we're only putting 10 DU for cottage, maybe we can put 12, 14, or 16, or 18.
In the downtown.
For acre. Whatever that equates to.
With or without pets?
Well, I'm thinking of parking. Mm-hmm. Because the streets are narrow and
animals.
That becomes tight.
I kind of want to focus on the dwelling units per acre.
Mm-hmm.
Because that fixes the math.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's the right number?
Change the DU based on the zone that you're talking about. Because if you're going to match up with a downtown commercial density, it's going to be greater than cottage.
What we're saying, I guess, well, what I'm getting from Jenna is how do we account for a smaller light development of cottage? And if it becomes that you have to have a minimum of this for a cluster, can we do 4 cottage homes on whatever that is.
Let me clarify, because I don't want to overthink this. What I'm thinking about is you're going to have a couple different, like, we have a couple different scenarios. Like, we have scenarios that are just unforeseen. Like, for example, we have a development going in that is on existing lots in downtown. And those were done like this. They were actually 25 feet. And there was five of them. Five. Okay? And they were all 25 feet. These are legal lots. The person could come and build a home on them. That would have looked pretty bad in theory. So what the person did is they said, now this is different because these are existing lots. But they reoriented all these lots. Lines. Frontage still stayed the same. And they're basically building, this is like a shared space, and then there's three lots on the back. So there's home, 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 home.
Genius.
And then this is, there's going to be a shared, this is going to look like a shared, or it's a shared easement, okay? What I'm trying to say, and these will meet the cottage definition. Now, so there's lots of times where I'm thinking through, like, okay, we just need to know that if you want to build a cottage in downtown, you can do it. And then we just need to define that minimum lot size, because it won't be like a big tract of land where we haven't, because this is all developed. So we just need to be a little more clear on that, how you do downtown in the final regulation.
Are there additional things that we need to make them do, basically, or try and have done that sort of development?
Yeah, there's not a lot of areas, but you do want to, like, incentivize, like, you know, I mean, a cottage is, if you want to incentivize a small home to go in because it's more affordable and it's in your downtown. Like, for example, a lot that I think could be developed is that corner lot right down here. And it's kind of big, so you could probably end up putting two or three cottages there. And those would be, like, maybe pretty cool on that corner. And if you want something like that, which is more affordable, that's where your impact fees, you'll need to have that less number. But we just need to clarify that that's allowed. Because right now it looks like a four. It's a minimum of four have to be built.
In this example, what zone was that?
DC.
So let's extrapolate, since we haven't finished the coding. If that same developer had full awareness of what we're developing here under the cottage designation, what else could he have done?
Well, that's being built under our current code. Houses will be bigger. They'll be our current 1,700, excluding the garage. So they are big. What else could he have done if he built on this, built part of this?
If he took that same five parcels of land and said, hey, here's my total acreage, and I would like to build a cluster or two clusters of cottage houses here. Is that something that would have worked?
I'd have to go back and...
That makes the point of why I'm talking about making cottage zone, actually more importantly, just define cottage.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the...
And say, I want to do it here.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the lot size. Because remember, he had five existing lots, which gave him five existing homes. So I don't know if you did the math, and he applied these regulations, he would have still had five. Because the lots were 25 feet by whatever. Anyway, don't get hung up on the one thing about land use, just remember, and, you know, I've been doing it 20 years, and I still laugh every time we get a question, because they're not black and white, and they're not all the same.
So I love you for bringing up the hypothetical that somebody's actually doing.
Yeah.
But I also think that's what's exciting about
this particular stuff we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if we make it available, and there's a good reason, I mean, I look at that and I think, well, that's like all day long that's been done. That's been done for 100 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
You know, a hammerhead turnaround or whatever they do, it's called a cul-de-sac.
Well, that's a green, but not a driveway. Sorry. So the difference here is make sure this is an alley, so that they come in here and they're
cool.
And then this one's getting access, and this is a driveway.
Okay, cool. Well, that's closer to what I was thinking was really cool.
Something like that.
Yeah. But that development concept is what will happen without another choice, right? You're going to have people drive in, and they all come into the driveway from the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. That's been done thousand times over as an infill project.
right,
that's a customary infill project. If we overlay that space and say, hey, here's a cottage thing that you might build, maybe, and they end up with several more dwelling units, that's the thing that I see value.
However, keep in mind the way the anyway, I don't want to talk about an existing one because if I am not remembering, but the point I was going to make, whether this one is the case or not, because I can't remember all the projects in the city, but the goal is, like, the reason why this worked was because our code requires, it currently requires cottages to be on a green or off a street. So we would, the only way this worked to reorient all these lines and still meet the code was to create the green. Because we don't allow homes, like, we wouldn't have allowed, because the original desire was just to do this and build two big houses out here and put a bunch of three behind. We said, no, you have to build cottages if you want to reorient the line that way. So then the houses got smaller, so the houses got smaller to accommodate the cottage definition, and then also the requirement to bring this green, so these homes look like a cottage. So it's important to have that cottage around the greens, for sure.
So, Janet,
yeah.
10 DU an acre is in downtown core right now. And if I can go back, everybody, to 18.11.050, item number one. It starts off as density within the cottage zone and within the LDR and DC zones located mm-hmm. within a 10-walk radius shall not exceed 8 DU per acre.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to strike within the LDR zone and put that back at 10 DU
okay.
per acre, or even raise it to 12.
Okay. So I'll point out where it would affect the LDR. Do you know where?
And I would suggest then that we would take LDR, make it its own line, and say 8 DU per acre. And uh-huh. separate it. And that way you have a clear desire to create the density in downtown core, keep LDR as low density rural.
So what's our dwelling units right now under cottage rooftop? Is it 10?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as DC?
Mm-hmm. Let me look. Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah, it is. But let me just, I always like to have my eyes on the prize when I'm quoting something. So, yeah, cottages in the CR zone, yeah, it's all 6 to 10. It states a range, but 10's the max. So what I'm hearing Gary say, and I'm going to go to the map and point it out.
So you're kind of creating a hierarchy of density for cottages. So basically what's going to happen is there's going to be here's your zone.
Mm-hmm.
This whole orange, and you're saying in that zone you want to stick with
10.
So orange would go 10. Then the circle gets, the 10-minute circle gets put on the map, and that's going to incorporate definitely this yellow.
and some of the yellow up here into, you know, 6th Street and these up here. And what Gary's proposing is those would stay 8, go to 8. DC would stay 10, and this would stay 10. And the yellow would go 8, is what he's proposing. I'll say
versus one. Versus everything 8.
One good thing about that is you, by allowing more density in the cottage area, if you write the regulations right, you can create open space requirement.
More.
Yeah, you can balance it off. So they still get the density, but it's just tighter.
Right.
It's not bad.
It's just a good trick. Thank you, everybody. So what was the high number you were thinking?
10. 12, yes, was the highest in downtown core.
Can we run that up the flagpole until somebody says no?
We're gonna create your recommendation, and we're gonna run the whole.
12 in downtown core, 8 in LDR.
What about cottage?
Are we 10 there now?
We're 8.
You're 10 in the code. The new code is recommended at 8.
So here's how this could work in my head. So whatever we set as the standard for cottage, when some developer decides to go to a higher higher zone, if I can call it that, we increase the number of dwelling units. So in other words, if cottage sticks at 8, then DC would be 10 or 12. That way, it actually could make sense for someone to come into that zone, and the land would not sit empty, or it would be waiting for a four-story apartment building someday. It actually becomes a cottage community in town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know if I'm following you, but this is what I think I'm following. In the density within the cottage zone, the cottage and DC zones, density would be 10?
12.
In DC.
In DC or the orange area in the cottage zone.
Where do you want cottage?
I was thinking, whatever the baseline we start off with, if it's 8 in our existing cottage zone.
8 is the proposed, 10 is where it is now.
And I'm not fixed on that.
Got it.
But wherever we start.
So 12 should be.
If somebody goes and says, hey, I want to actually do a cottage development in DC, then I think our code ought to allow them to increase the use there.
Got it. So if we're going to keep, yeah.
That's what
if,
we're doing, right?
Yeah,
we're doing
if you're keeping
same thing.
8 or 10, regardless, DC should be higher in order to promote that development. So then the question to you, are you fine with 8 or do you want 10 in cottage zone, which is the orange on the map?
So I have a feel in my head of what 8 per acre looks like. 10 starts to get tough. But if somebody can think of a way to do it, and they want to do it in downtown DC, let's let them have 12.
With 12, one of them could be a 2 units, so you're saving.
Well, the trade-off's going to be that they're going to, and I'm thinking about riverfront stuff that's in the DC right now. Mm-hmm. They've already got to get back away from the waterfront, whatever they're going to do.
You know, you guys, I can almost guarantee you're not going to make 10 or 12. You're going to, if you've set it at 10, and the reason for that is,
you're destroying hope here.
No, I'm just trying to be realistic. Like, you can set it at 12.
There would be no on-street parking.
But that means.
It should be bikes and mopeds.
Yeah, grandma has a horse.
Because at 12. Yeah.
Unless they get a lot of land.
Well, you know, a good comparison is if you guys go sometime when you are up on Snoqualmie Ridge, do you know where the Baker Street cottages are?
I have been through there.
those, I can't remember the size of those, but they hit, they are dense, and they hit 8 BUs per acre. So my thought is, I mean, really 12?
They're also stacked like 2,000 square feet. They're like 1,000 on each floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're
it's
not.
It's like an apartment complex.
Yeah, they're big.
But that's the dance. So follow this logic. I'm going to spoil your spoiling 12 units and say, if somebody has an acre, and I don't think this is math is going to work, but if they have an acre in the DC and they want to do 12 use, they're going to probably figure out a way to get an acre and a half so they can give it up and get the math to work. That makes sense? I'm saying if it's in our code to allow it to happen, then it's up to the geniuses out there with the budget to figure it out. We have it restricted.
And they don't have to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm all about, hey, options, man.
Yeah. So then we have Commissioner Ryan's argument of, do we want to build these houses in our downtown core? Do we want something of a higher, better use? Any thoughts, Commissioner Ryan?
I'm still there.
Okay.
Anything less is land banking until it happens.
Right. Well, that's sort of what this is doing, if you think about it. If you did a 50, 100-year flowchart, and all, you know, in 2018 we built, you know, 10 or 12 units on an acre plus in land in the D.C. in 50 years, that's going to become something totally different, either by code or by just the economics. So, I mean, that's kind of, we are
just
sort of land banking.
Understand that we'll fall in love with these cute little cottages. You know, they're basically waiting for something bigger to come along.
Waiting for what?
Something bigger.
Yeah.
Well, here's the way you could do it. I'm going to ask
that.
It's all the, it's outside of the bridge. It's annexation.
They have to annex to it. If you go out 80th Street, that whole area over there. But the cottage housing in downtown, I think, fits some of what we're talking about trying to accomplish with cottage housing. And it may be land banking. And it may be that's not what someone will build there. It's giving another option, and it's encouraging something that I think will provide a different type of housing that we need quite desperately in our area.
Well said. So can I take your and this goes back to the 50s evolution story, right? Grandma, if you will, is left in the house, the roof's leaking. I can't take care of it anymore. And the grandkids are going, hey, not our deal, right? Grandma could sell the big house, and probably to a developer who's going to cut up her acre and a half, which is not too far from downtown, and build a bunch of houses. She takes her, I'll use some real math, she takes her $700,000 and moves it over into a $680,000 cottage house that's a fraction of the square footage that she lived in. But it has the house that she uses and a carriage house where she has a caretaker or her relative or whatever. And she still gets to go down the street to see her friends and not have to move to Arizona.
She can walk to KFC and have coffee with her friends. We're talking about downtown. Or in many of the other coffee shops
so that,
down here.
That's a quintessential, that's what works. That's what makes sense.
It removes some of the isolation and gives us another opportunity. And
where's your next change? We were on 2A.
I'm surprised you guys still want to talk to me now. So I was at, we were all on 2, right?
Yep.
I have a question on 2. I know you left off there.
Okay.
And I guess I'm trying to combine the dwelling units per acre and these clusters. I'm a little confused on how to connect those. So we have 8 or 10 dwelling units per acre, and then we have cottage clusters of minimum of 4. Units and cottages are interchangeable, I believe, the terminology. So you have a minimum and a maximum of 4 cottages, and then 24, but then it talks about not more than 2 clusters.
Of 12.
Is it just of 12?
2 clusters of 12.
So the max you can do is a cluster of 12.
If you did a cluster of, you could do a four cottage cluster.
Mm-hmm.
But then at that point, the other one would have to be 18.
No, doesn't have to be anything. It could be, it just, in theory, if you're going to cluster, it has to be 4, but not more than 12. And then you have to create a new cluster of 4 to 12, and you can't have more than 24 homes not separated by some green space.
Okay. So if it was an acre, and it was downtown core, 10 dwelling units per acre, then they could do...
Scott, some of those parcels are 5 or 10 acres. So when you think about it that way, maybe it makes more sense that you have that 10 acres to deal with. And so how do you want to slice that up, and how do you want to develop it to make the most profit or create the diversity? And so that's where you're kind of thinking about clusters, green space, single family, or multifamily.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking with the smaller lots like downtown, and I guess
that's where we're...
You're not getting locked into just 2 clusters then.
That's where Jenna was saying we need a different provision. Right,
well, yeah, we need to clarify how.
That's where I was saying, if you have 2,800 square feet, can you build 2?
Now, did you guys end up with 10 DUs per acre in the cottage and DC zone, and then 8 in the LDR?
8 in the LDR, 12 downtown core. What is cottage? Do you want to stick with 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the balance is kind of thing. That's the purest form of cottage setup.
Okay. Well, you're making lots in downtown on average 2,900 square feet. That's going to make a cottage not look like a cottage if it's one lot or two or three, because the scale of the lot.
So then we just don't even include them in downtown core and think about higher and better uses.
Well, no, your downtown core is ideal for your cottage. It's the best place for your cottage. But what I'm trying to say is, like, you won't. So
at some point, the decision is not going to be on a given space, more density. It's going to be, okay, I've reached the common density. Now I need to get more space so I can give it up for the averages.
I mean, I would recommend you stay at 10 DUs per acre in the cottage and DC zones. That has worked well. We've gotten stuff like that. On parcel zone LDR, in that walk radius, density shall not exceed 8 DUs per acre. So you're kind of, and I think that works. I would prefer you guys stay the same between cottage and downtown. It's much, your code's getting too complicated to have.
Also,
and 12 just won't work. I'm just going to be totally honest with you.
Well, unless somebody traded a whole bunch of space and, you know.
Well, if you say 12, you got to now put a real, let's just talk about the orange space. If you say 12, you have to have very clear provisions that it's not 12.
DC 12.
Right.
And I get that it's not likely, But I also drive around, and right now our DC's got vacant lots right now, vacant land. I was like, wait a minute, really? We allow this to be done in the code, and you guys somehow have chosen just to have a nice place to cut the grass once in a while? So maybe it doesn't fly, but maybe somebody says, hey, you know, I'm doing an apartment building over here, and I'm going to put a 35-foot average buffer, and then I'm going to do 15 cottage units. Something like that starts to happen.
I guess I was curious, but it sounds like the curtain code at 7.
The woman who spoke from the cottage company said you basically need to double the LDR. If you want to infill, this is infill. If you want to infill, doubling the LDR zone. So, for example, in the LDR, when you went to 8, you basically doubled. That's consistent with what's worked elsewhere. Going to 12 in the in the downtown, I'm just thinking of some of the big parcels. Let's just say there's a big parcel right along North Bend Way. It's right here. Let me see how many acres this is. This is 83,000 square feet. 83,000 square feet. We have some big parcels still.
2 acres.
Yeah. So 83,779. Okay. So you could build 24. So you could do 24 cottages in there. This parcel is along the river, but it probably won't be able to do it. But oh, you know what might be a good one? Let's use DNR's property over there.
Is that
50
acres?
No, DNR rate.
Is that the turn?
Gravel lot.
Turn of parcel.
Yeah. Okay, right here. It is. How big do you guys think this is? It might not tell me because it's owned by a public entity. Come on. So it's 32,165 square feet. So on that lot where you know, across the street from Claffey's painting, you could do 12 cottages. That's that to me is a little bit out of...
Is that if you leveled the barn, too?
Yeah, on the lot, yeah. I'm just giving you scale. Like, all of a sudden, picture...
Well, just the parking lot, that's excessive.
The whole lot, it isn't broke down into... Yeah, just...
So you kind of make my point.
I did?
Yeah, because the highest and best use thing that starts to happen when you say, look, the highest and best use for that space is some kind of mixed use... functionality, maybe three-story building.
Yeah, that's right? But that's up to...
So, developer says, yeah, you know what, I can sell 12 of these things for $650 a piece. Now he's going to do cottage because it's the most productive thing in the market for his land. He's not going to wait around for the economy to say, well, now it makes sense for me to build my retail below and the apartment above. We're 25 years away from that happening. Cottage housing that can work. It fits in with what's kind of already there, and it's certainly walkable.
We might be talking about something, it might be just late, and we might, because we aren't thinking about our open space requirement. So if you actually took all the requirements in there and applied them, you would be left over with some land. And I bet you that's not 12. But why don't I look at that between now and the next?
Yeah, so I'm gonna... I would imagine in downtown core, you would relieve the open space requirements because you're trying to infill.
See, that's where you get away from the green, and now you get more row house.
I didn't say remove, relieve.
Oh, so I thought you said...
What's the downside for picking a number that we don't think
of? 12 or 10. I'm just going to put a note to myself, 12 or 10, analyze with other open space. Open space regs. And parking, see. Well, no, that wouldn't be. It would just be open space. Okay, anyway. I'll come back with whether we think 12 is feasible in the DC. But what I do understand is 10 in the cottage zone, 8 in the LDR, and we'll figure out DC.
Okay.
So those are up two numbers.
Right. Now, out of just the fact we might have been getting tired, are we getting tired?
Anybody?
Yeah.
I got so many juicy things.
Do we go over the end of this page and table, or what are you thinking?
Yeah. We can stop there if you want. Jenna, I'm just going to say I have a huge issue next meeting with the open space requirements and the way buildings must face, but also can't be back to another development. Seems like you have to have a front door on either side, and it just... in my head looks funny.
Okay, you're talking about this? Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just saying for next meeting.
Yeah, and...
Well, is this something that we actually can make sure we talk about next meeting?
Yeah, so let me make sure you're concerned with...
Well, we have to have the common space, and the buildings have to face the common space, but then their back can't be to another development. It has to be, like, fronting.
It's in there, I wrote
it. Yeah. Yeah. So it just, it seems like either they have to face one way or the other. If you want them to face to the street and then to the open space, we should be a little bit more flexible to design for the landscape and not just so rigid in.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can have that conversation because
Well, multiple front doors. That's what it seemed like, is what I was looking at.
Maybe not, but...
At least 75% of the units in the development shall abut a common open space. But where is the other part? Dwellings, it's in the start of the cottage housing design standards. It's dwellings with a cottage housing development should be oriented to promote a sense of community both within the development and with respect to the larger community outside of the cottage project. Cottage development should not be designed to turn its back on the surrounding neighborhood. And so that's where I kind of thought, like, if you're developing the single family homes on one side and cottage on the other, they have to face the green space. So how wouldn't their back be to the back of the single-family homes?
Okay. I think what we need... Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you look at the map...
What page are you on?
It's 18.11.060. There isn't numbers on ours.
Page down. Zero. Okay, orientation. Got it. Okay. Well, let me ponder that one.
Yeah, that's. I just want you to look at that for the next.
Maybe I'll print out a lot of the site plans from the cottage company because it does. We can clarify the language of what we mean. Yeah, I can see why that's confusing. So let's figure that one out.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Before we get serious about the German conversation, I want to talk something. Two things. I apologize already. I won't be here at the next meeting. We do bring this up at the next meeting, I'm going to have to send in some notes. One topic that I don't see here at all, which to me was an integral part of cottage housing communities, is some sort of common house.
It is, but not a requirement.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's not a requirement, why would you build it? So if we don't do something about that, we're going to have nice green spaces and all that sort of thing, but the common house element.
Nicely said.
It's another term.
had various generations, and in some cases it was kind of this idea of the carriage house, so it was really broad complex where you had a what was essentially a little single family house, and there would be a back stairway, some with a little elevator that would go up to a little apartment that was really above the garage unit for the single family that were primarily occupied by seniors. So that you had kind of this mix deliberately designed to encourage a sense of community.
That can work out well. Over years, or was that constructed like at once? I mean, is that
that one, no, that it, all at once, and that particular community had been in place for about 30 years. So it wasn't new construction.
There's a concept that has its roots older than cottage, and you can type in co-housing. It was an architectural design concept that's still around, but people in society are not ready for it. That's the kind of the extreme thing I was talking about. People literally, they share this 5-acre plat, and they live in their little house, and they may have a little kitchenette. But they actually have a main house for preparing meals, and they all take them back to their own houses and feed their kids, and grandma knows everybody and all that stuff.
There's one in West Seattle.
They're still around. I don't know how you can put that, how you can codify that, but that,
we allow it in our code. It's in there.
So April 13th is our next meeting. Mm-hmm. I also will not be here. Neither will you.
Elizabeth Power.
Okay. All right. No. So you will have
should
a.
I get to have cats a forum. That
as we need to pull the pin.
So I'll give you my comments, but
we may or may not bring this. I guess we're good because we're still working on the actual. We haven't made it through. So yeah. Okay.
I'd like to say thank you, Jenna, and to your staff. If you notice on the back of our agenda, we have procedures
yes.
for public speaking at our meetings. And as I stumbled a couple of times trying to state them verbally, but thank you very much for being so prompt on that and getting them on there.
That's Tom.
At the front door.
That's Tom. Tom takes good care.
Yeah.
He listens to these minutes, and boom, so now he's got that printed.
Yeah, you notice that we had a police officer here at the city council meeting where the police chief and the acting chief gave their update. They made a pledge to staff our meetings, which would be welcomed. I see my role as the chair is to make sure that we have the proper decorum and to keep a level head, and would welcome them to staff our meetings. That said, you know, we have great debates, and I appreciate all your calm minds and candor, and appreciate all your thoughtfulness that goes into crafting our city.
Thank you.
So with that, anything else for good of the order?
Just one question. I wasn't at the last meeting, but it looks like the development agreement was, I guess, denied as was written. So are there any next steps as a city council? Can they just say, well, we approve it?
So, you provide a recommendation to council, and they get to choose, they get to make their own decision. It went to committee on Tuesday, and the three council members in the committee recommended it go to the full council on April 4th and supported your recommendation to deny. So right now, three of the council member.
Sorry, deny what?
Deny moving forward with the development agreement on the property east of town, or west of town.
Just one more thing for the committee order. I brought it up last week, the picket extension, the barriers are movable, and they're being moved still. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let Public Works know.
And you can actually see quite a bit of mud rut where people are going.
Yeah, on one end. The other end is, I saw them drive around the one that's actually posted, but the other one is movable and easily so.
Okay.
Enough that it happens like multiple times a day.
Okay.
And actually, in the vein, I took a walk through E.J. Roberts Park and up the newly opened ramp that goes Pulte. And I guess my risk manager hat went on. There's a pretty significant sharp drop off in a number of places that I have a little bit of concern about potential injury with people going through there. It's relatively narrow. If you get a group of people walking, and we could have people tumbling off the side quite easily because it is so sharp. And I noted the same along the sidewalks in the new development because of the way the...
Oh, those aren't finished.
Okay, hopefully they fill them in, because right now I had visions of people sliding off, and because of the angle, their head would come down on the concrete.
No, if you if they're more than a 3-to-1 slope, they need to put a fence and like
five
channels.
Yeah, they got rock chips and plantings in there, so I thought that we were done with.
I'll have to go look at it then.
And I also took photos of the retaining ponds as I did my waters.
Waterfront property.
The lake, actually, my nephew was really, really excited. He was with me. He looked at one of them and he goes, "You could take a canoe on that." And I went, "Thank God it's fenced."
Yeah.
I was there about 5 feet of water in there when we were over there. So doing the job, but deep.
Yeah. Pretty quickly, Brian Tucker took me out to the hotel site. Days ago, which was really quite interesting, and I took numerous groups of photos, so I'd like to present those so people can see what they like to see, what's actually occurring. So I did some very detailed shots of what's happening on the ground, things like that. So.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Super nice guy.
You can send them to staff, and they can send them to us.
We'll definitely do that.
All right. With that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been moved and seconded. And all in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. It is 9:00.